How are you today?
I learned today many different ways to navigate London. And I will tell you that I know that God has a word for you today, because about 10 times on my journey in today, I thought of turning back. I went through London, and then I couldn't go through London, and I had to go all the way out to Finchley and come back in. So God must have a plan. Amen? How many of you have faith in God? Some of us, all right. Let me just do that. I always do this, but it's just my habit. Can I just check who was here the last time I preached? Some people, not, okay. Do you remember what I preached about? No? Okay. I'll remind you, I preached about knowing God, and that it is God's intention that we know Him, and the Bible says that they who know their God will be strong and do exploits in Him. 2 weeks ago, how many of you were here 2 weeks ago? All right, we had Ben Davis here. Do you remember that? And he preached about changing atmospheres, talking about Mary and Martha in John chapter 11, and how we should not be stuck in our ways, but we should believe God. And I always do this just to remind us that coming to the house of God is not just so we can hear the word. The Bible says the entrance of His word gives light and understanding to the simple. And the more we retain God's word in our heart, it will have an ability to change our lives. So today, I'm going to be sharing with you. Oh, sorry, before I move on to what I'm going to be sharing, Vacation Bible School. We believe God that this year is not only going to be outstanding, but awesome. Amen. I just want to declare that. When does it start? Finished. Wow.
It was outstanding and awesome.
So there you go. I wrote it in my notes that I would mention it. So we thank God for that. Okay. So what am I going to share with you today? It's from the book of Daniel chapter 2. And the tech guys, I'm going to go through almost the whole of Daniel chapter 2. And I've titled the message today, Stepping from a Crisis to Clarity to a Testimony. Very long, I know, but let me go through it again. Stepping from a crisis to clarity to a testimony. All right. And we're going to start from Daniel chapter 2, verse 1. In the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar had dreams by which his spirit was troubled and agitated, and his sleep left him, or went from him. I'm reading from the Amplified. Verse 2. Then the king commanded to call the magicians, the enchanters, the soothsayers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, to tell the king his dream. So they came and stood before the king. Let me explain what's happening here. Verse 1, the Bible says the king had a dream such that he could not sleep. He had insomnia. And the dream, when he woke up, left him. You know, you have an amazing dream and you wake up and you can't remember it. That's what happened to the king. And in verse 2, he says to the magicians, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, people on his payroll that he had been paying for many years, and their job was to tell him the divine things. And so he calls them and says, guys, I have a job for you. You're going to earn your wages. You're the Ministry of Information, and today you're going to earn your wages. I'm going to skip a few verses to verse 5. The king answered the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. I cannot remember the dream. And the decree goes forth from me. And I say with all emphasis, if you do not make known to me the dream with its interpretation, you shall be cut in pieces. Your houses shall be made a dunghill. Very cheery news this morning. The king says to him, you have been on my payroll for the last how many years? I've been paying you for such a time as this. I had a dream last night. I've woken up and I can't remember the dream. Now your job is to tell me what my dream is. Tell me the interpretation of the dream. Tell me what I should do next. And if you fail to do this, you're dead. Your family is dead. And I'm going to burn your house down. Talk about a crisis. I don't know about you today. Maybe today, as a family who came to give thanks to God, maybe your crisis is that you've lost somebody. You've lost something. Maybe you've lost something as simple as your passport. And it's summertime and you want to travel and you don't know what to do. Maybe for you, your crisis is a breakdown of friendships. Maybe your best friend has just fallen out with you. Maybe you have a new job. Your crisis is the challenge of proving yourself in your new job. For some of us today, our challenge might be health. Maybe a sickness that you've been battling with. It's a crisis. Maybe for some of us, it's debt. So afraid to open up that credit card bill. Maybe for some of us this morning, your crisis is a family situation, a struggle in the family, a tension that just seems to never go away. Or maybe your young ones they're going to a new school in September, and they're worried, concerned about what is going to be ahead of them. Here's one for you. Maybe your crisis is that you've been coming to this church and you just don't know where to serve. You come each Sunday and you're thinking to yourself, I don't want to just be sitting in this house. I want to be a servant in this house. It could be a crisis for you. What about this? Old wounds reopened. Suddenly you go on Facebook and an old friend who you tried to forget about because they did something bad to you, you see them on Facebook and an old wound is reopened. Somebody says a word and you remember something that happened to you a long time ago. Crisis. Let's go back to Daniel 2. Let me build out the crisis for you. The Chaldeans, verse 10, said, they answered before the king and said, there is not a man on earth who can show the king this matter. For no king, lord or ruler, has ever asked such a thing of any magician, any enchanter, or any Chaldean. What you're asking, king, is ridiculous. No. Let me rephrase it. It's impossible. No, let me rephrase it for you. It has never, ever been done. This is a new one. Verse 11. A rare and weighty thing indeed the king requires. None except the gods can reveal it to the king, and their dwelling is not with human beings. What you are asking for, the solution you're looking for, is not in our hands. We have no power to do this. Look at verse 12. For this cause, the king was angry and very furious and commanded that all the wise men of Babylon be destroyed. Crisis. Remember, it's not just the wise men that are going to be destroyed, but their wives and their children. Imagine being the wife of one of those wise men. What would you say to your husband when he arrives in the house? Why could you not answer the question? Now we are all going to die. So the decree went forth, verse 13, that the wise men were to be killed. And the officers sought Daniel. Hold on a second. We now have a new guest. His name is Daniel. He's the star of our show. He wasn't involved in anything that was going on. But all of a sudden, he's being hunted down to be killed. Has that ever happened to you before? In the office, maybe. Something goes wrong. And they said, somebody's head must roll. And they point to you.
for no reason at all. The mortgage goes up, not because you've done anything, but the bank justified they want to take it up. Do you feel that sometimes? Do you feel that I have not caused any of this trouble? My gas bill has just doubled. Why? Because the gas company decides they need more profit. We find ourselves in crisis sometimes, even though we did not plan to be in the crisis. Daniel was not involved. And so through the life of Daniel, I'm going to give you seven steps to go from a crisis to clarity to a testimony. Seven steps. Step number one. And I don't take any credit for these steps, because they're all from the scriptures. You know, people write seven habits or seven this, seven that. These are seven verses that tell you how to get out of a crisis. Number one, Daniel chapter 2, verse 15. Let's start from verse 14, but the answer is in verse 15. Then Daniel returned and answered. Sorry, where am I? Yeah, so let's go on from verse 14. Then Daniel returned and answered, which was full of prudence and wisdom, the king who had gone forth to slay. And he said to Archion, the king's captain, verse 15, why is the decree so urgent and hasty from the king? Step number one, get understanding. Daniel is like, why are you trying to kill me now? What has happened that you want to kill me now? And Achaon said, well, the king has commanded every wise man be killed. So when you're in a crisis, the first thing you do is don't panic. Get understanding. Understand why what is happening to you is happening. Remember, Jesus saw, he walked past this man who was blind, and the disciples said, who sinned? Was it him or his parents? And Jesus said, neither of them had sinned. But this is for the glory of God. So when you find yourself in a crisis, don't panic. Get understanding. Daniel said, why is the decree so urgent from the king? Why? I need to understand why. Step number one, get understanding. Understand what is happening. Understand why your bank is not balancing. Understand it. Because some people don't take the time to look through the things on their account. And then they don't have a balanced account. It's like, God, what are you doing? And God's like, check the transactions. The problem in your marriage, don't panic. Look to God and ask God, why is this happening? Was it something I said? Was it something I did? Was it something she said? Was it something he said? When you get understanding, you're on the first step from going to a crisis to your testimony. You know, I don't know whether you've seen this expression before. La, 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 la. You know, I don't want to know, I don't want to know, I don't want to know. No, no, that's the wrong attitude when you're in a crisis. You need to know. Daniel said, why is the decree gone so hastily from the king? And so he gets understanding. Step number two, verse 16. Step number two is take a bold step. When you understand what's going on, take a bold step. Look at verse 16. And Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would set a date and give him time, and he would show the king the interpretation. Take a bold step. Between you and I think Daniel was crazy. Right? The king has just decreed that all the wise men be put to death because he can't remember his dream, let alone have the interpretation. But Daniel does not. Once he has understanding of what the problem is, he does not stop. He takes a bold step. He says, okay, king, here's the deal. You give me a date, you give me a time, and I will give you the interpretation. Whoa.
That's taking the game right to the middle of the court. He did not shrink back, and you'll understand why. Because he knew whom he believed. He knew there was a God in heaven. And we are inheritance of the same nature that Daniel had. We don't shrink back. We don't say, whoa, there's a crisis, let me run and find the hill. No, he steps in and takes a bold step. Somebody says to you, it's not possible for you to get this. You say, no, it's not. It's not impossible. There's no impossibilities with God. Well, what happened is, you see, you have to work in this company for 5 years before we can promote you. Oh, no. No, sir. No, sir. I'm going to take a bold step and declare to you that before 5 years, I will be promoted. Amen. Well, you know, for you to get this mortgage, you need to have done this and you need to have done that. And you say, okay, thank you for letting me understand that. But I have a God who sits in heaven. And he takes impossibilities and he turns them around and makes them possible. Well, you see, this job, and this is my story, this job, you need experience. And sir, I have zero experience, but I have a God. And I think I can do this job. And so you give me a chance, and I will prove to you that God can give you a job without experience. Take a bold step. Don't shrink back. Daniel did not shrink back. He said, King, here's the deal. You have a dream? You need an interpretation? Set a date. Set a time, and let's have a meeting. So step number two, take a bold step. You need to take a bold step. It might look foolish, but it's not. Mary said to the angel, said, for there is nothing impossible with God. Peter said to Jesus, at thy word, call me forth, and I will walk on water. And he did. I mean, it's impossible. Like, you can't walk on water. But he did. He took a bold step. The woman said, if I will but touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. Leviticus tells me she's not supposed to touch Jesus, but she does. And when she does, something happens. And Jesus said, virtue has left me. And the woman, the Bible says, the woman, knowing what she had done and what had happened in her, put her hand up and said, yeah, I touched you. Sorry. I touched you. Take a bold step. Number three, once you've taken a bold step, connect into your small community. Let me read verse 17 for you. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananias, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions. And so Daniel goes and says, guys, I have taken a bold step on our behalf. On our behalf. I stepped out. I said, God can answer prayer and God can reveal the mystery, and you're in it. We're all in this together. Take a bold step, but then connect into your community. Your community could be your family. It could be your small group in church. It could be your serving team. It could be people you connect with. And you go to them and say, Pastor Gideon, I've committed you. I said, you know, God is going to answer, so I committed you. You're in my small community. And look at the next verse. Because the reason why you commit your small community is your step number four. You make a request. Please hear me. I'm not saying pray. You make a request. It's very different from prayer. Because step four and step five make prayer. But step four is you make a request. So look at what verse 18 says. So he went to tell them so that they would desire and request mercy of the God of heaven concerning this secret that Daniel had.
His companions should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Do you understand what that says? He told them this because he wanted them to join forces together with him to make a request of God. Mordecai said to Esther, "Esther, you think God has put you in this place to hide you? No, God has put you here to preserve this nation." And Esther says, "Go to my people, tell my companions, tell my small group to pray and fast with me, and I will go to the king, and if I perish, I perish." The reason why I'm coming to my small community, the reason why I'm telling you what God is happening, what's happening inside of me, the reason why I'm telling you I've applied for that job is not to gossip with you, but it's to let you come into the circle of trust so that you and I can believe God, that God will answer. That's why the Bible says wherever two or three are gathered together in the name, what happens? God is in the midst of them. But the Bible says, whatsoever two or three shall bind on earth shall be what? Bound in heaven. And so step number four is this. You go, after you've connected with your small community, doesn't matter how small or how big it is. Even Jesus had a small community. He called them, Peter, John, and James, said, "Come with me, let's go pray, because I'm about to die." And he went back to them three times and said, "Could you not pray with me a little? Don't you understand? You're my small community here." And God had to send angels from heaven to strengthen him. Your small community is not just a bunch of friends that you can do life together. Your small community is a bunch of friends who can make a request of God together. Step number four, make a request. Make a request. The Bible says in the book of James, they ask and they do not receive. Why? Because they ask amiss. Make a request. Ask and it shall be what? Given. The reason why some of us don't have today, because we've never asked. We never asked. The Bible says God is not slack concerning his promises, like men count slackness. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be open. Now some of us, we get to the door and we're like, "God, you know what I need. You know what I need." And God says, "I know what you need, but I need you to tell me what you need." The blind man goes up to Jesus and says, "Help me." And Jesus says, "What do you need help with?" And it's like, "Hey, guy, voila." "Jesus, I know you're from heaven, but I'm sure you're F-wise. The guy's blind." But Jesus says, "You tell me what you need. You tell me what you need. Ask and you shall receive. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you." Make a request of God. "I want a husband." "Yeah, I want one." "Yeah, have you made a request?" "I want a wife." "Have you made a request?" "Well, I thought that lady would recognize." No, she doesn't recognize. You need to make a request. "You want a job?" You need to apply. Make a request. Take some action. And so Daniel goes to his companion and says, "Guys, we got to make a request of this God in heaven." And so they make a request. And step number five. People miss this step. Step number five, hear from God. I've taught this before. Prayer is not making a request. It is making a request and hearing an answer. Hannah, remember Hannah? She went to God and made a vow, and God responded. He responded. So when you make a request, you need to wait to hear what God is saying. And look at what God says in verse 19. Oh, I love this. "Then the secret was revealed to Daniel in a vision of the night, and Daniel blessed the God of heaven." I need to jump a few verses for a second, just so you can really understand this. Look at verse 27. Daniel answered the king, "The mysterious secret which the king has demanded, neither the wise men, the enchanters or magicians, nor the astrologers can show the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets. And he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what it is that shall be in the latter days, at the end of days. Your dream and the visions in your head upon your bed are these.
As for you, O king, as you were lying upon your bed, thoughts came into your mind about what should come to pass hereafter. And he who reveals secret was making known to you what shall come to pass. Daniel is teaching the king now. He said, king, you didn't just dream that dream so that you can know the future. You dreamt the dream because the one who gave you the dream wants to get to know you. He wants to have a relationship with you. And this whole saga, this whole crisis has happened so that you can get to know the God who reveals secrets. This is our God. He reveals secrets. He reveals mysteries. He gives us revelation. Ask and you will receive. You know, let me deviate for a second. Many of us are too busy asking about what we need. And God is asking you to ask some bold things. Ask maybe what your neighbor needs. Maybe you could be the voice of God to your neighbor. Imagine you going across to your neighbor's house with a packet of sugar just because God told you. You knock on your neighbor's door and he says, oh, sugar. I was just going to buy some sugar. How did you know I needed sugar? And then you say, there is a God. There is a God who reveals the secret mysteries to our hearts. One day, boxing, it was Christmas Eve. You know, one of those days you're trying to just be quiet and just be on your own. You decide not to go anywhere, but you think it's you deciding it, but it's actually God deciding it. And then my neighbor knocks on my door and says to me, tonight, I want to end it. I was going to end it. And then I saw your light on. And I thought, maybe, just maybe, he's in. Knocks on the door. For 3 hours, we take the brokenness in that life, and by the grace of God, mend it back together. And they saw Christmas, and they're still alive today. Amen. There is a God in heaven who reveals the secrets, who can put you in a situation that you can be the answer to a prayer that hasn't even been prayed, a request that hasn't even been made. Feel to just hang there for a moment. About 3 years ago, I was in a crisis. I needed to get my son from England to Nigeria on holiday. And somehow, the ticket price had doubled. And I just didn't have the funds. And so I woke up that morning and I felt God say to me, go on Facebook and write there, please pray for me that God will provide. That's all I did. I didn't explain the situation. I didn't tell the story. And a lady in my church replies in my inbox straight away and said, how much? How much do you need? I said, it's about 1,000. This is a lady in my church that I would never, ever, ever even consider or think that she has 1,000 spare. And she said, give me your bank details. This is a true story. Give me your bank details. And I gave her my bank details. And literally 15 minutes later, she said, check your account. There's £1,000 in your account. Remember, I didn't ask. I didn't say, give me money. I didn't even tell her what the need was. But she just said, how much? Now, this is the story doesn't end there, because if the story ends there, it'd be like, oh, well, lucky you, you got the money. No, the story doesn't end there. She sends me the money, and literally within 3 hours, a letter pops through her post. And she gets £500 from a rebate she wasn't expecting. That's on the Monday. On the Tuesday, the electricity company call her up and say, we've overcharged you. She gets £250 back. And on the Wednesday, a friend does exactly the same thing that she did to me, sends her £250. And so she gives to me, but then God gives back to her. Luke 6 says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, so shall men give into your bosom. I don't know why I said that story, because it wasn't planned, but it's just to tell you that if you make a request of God and you obey him, he has the ability to answer prayer. Amen. I was in downtown California, Santa Barbara. I was walking up to a cash machine to withdraw money. As I finish withdrawing money, I see this girl who's trying to withdraw money. I don't know her from Adam. I don't know her name. I don't know who she is. And as she's about to withdraw money, her card fails to work. And I felt that nudge. Go back to the cash machine, get $50 out for her, and give it to her. And I said to her, how much do you need? She said, $50. Boom. And I was with two of my friends, and they're like, are you nuts? Are you going to preach to her? At least if you're going to give her money, you might as well preach to her, and then we know that it's the full package. And I was like, the instruction wasn't to preach, the instruction was to give. And so if you give, it will be given back to you. We don't give to receive. We give because we know a God who reveals the secret mysteries. Step number 6. Verse 20. When God speaks, your response should be to give God praise. So step 6, when you're in a crisis, is give God the highest praise. Daniel says this, and Daniel answered, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. Verse 21, he changes the times and the season. He removes kings and he sets up kings. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with him. Verse 23, I thank you and praise you, O God of my father, who has given me wisdom and might and has made known to me what we desire of you, for you have made known to us the solution to the king's problem. Now, can I pause for a second? Because sometimes, like when you're watching a Hollywood movie, it goes on and you kind of get caught up in the drama, but can we pause for a second? Remember, he hasn't told the king the dream yet. Verse 21, he hasn't proved that what he heard in the spirit was right. Now, if it was me, being honest, I would prove it first before I give God praise. Good thing. But Daniel wasn't like me. Daniel was one of those guys that just knew his God. He just knew that God doesn't disappoint. If it was me, I'd think, well, that dream, maybe it was a dream for my curry last night. I don't know, right? No, but Daniel knew that this is from God. How do we get to that stage that we really know that this is from God? Relationship. Relationship. Constant relationship with God. Daniel had a relationship with God. And we know, the Bible tells us later on, that he was thrown into the lion's den because he was praising, worshiping God. When you have a relationship with God, you would know the voice of God. How do you build a relationship? It's very simple. Take the Bible, read it. This is God's word to us now. Made alive. Start from there. People say, I need to hear a voice. Oh, no, start from here. Start from this book. You know the great thing in the 21st century? You can have it on your phone. You have it on your phone. You can carry it with you. Daniel had a relationship with God. And so when Daniel heard the answer to his prayer, he was ecstatic. He gave thanks to God. Praise him before the breakthrough comes. Praise him in the now. Praise him in the moment. Go crazy praising him now, because that's how Jesus was. Jesus said, Father, I thank you for those who will believe through them. He hadn't died yet. But he prayed for you and I back in the garden. So if you want to be an example of anybody, be an example of Jesus. Jesus praised and gave thanks way before it happened. Way before it happened. And so did Daniel. So step number six, when you're in a crisis, even if you're walking through that crisis, just give God a little praise. Give God a little praise. And somebody says, why are you praising God? Because I can see what he's about to do. I can see. I know whom I believe. Step number seven. This is a very important one. Listen to what I'm going to say, because people miss this one. Step number seven. Listen for the testimony. Remember, I didn't say give the testimony. Listen for the testimony. Daniel had already believed that this was so, and he'd already praised God. And if you want that to be his testimony, he testified that, God, you are good, and you've answered my prayer. You are the one that reveals the secret things to the king. But the key to number seven is wait for the testimony. Look at verse 46. Step number seven, wait for the testimony. Listen for the testimony. Because it's more powerful when it comes from somebody else. Look at what he says. Then Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and paid homage to Daniel as a great prophet of the highest God, and ordered that an offering, an incense, should be offered up to him in honor of his God. Verse 47, the king answered Daniel, of a truth, your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings, a revealer of the secret mysteries, seeing that you could reveal this secret mystery. You know, you get a new job. You want everybody to know you got a new job. That's okay. But I will beg you to listen for the testimony. When somebody comes up to you and says, how did you get that job? You don't look qualified. I think I'm more qualified than you. I applied and I didn't get it, but you did. There must be a God on your side. How did you buy that house? The asking price was more than you can afford. I know. There is a God. A friend of mine was buying a house. And he goes to the agent, and the agent says the house is X amount, and he doesn't have X amount. But he felt strongly that this is the house he was supposed to buy. I don't know, the word got back to the owner. The owner said, I'd like to meet with the buyer. So he sits the buyer down and says, look, I hear you want to buy my house. How much can you afford? He tells him, he says, okay, the house is yours for the amount you can afford. Come on. This is not a story. This is true. I can give you the guy's name, his address. He says to him, how much can you afford? And he tells him the exact amount he can afford. And he says, the house is yours for the amount you can afford.
Amen. Praise God.
7 steps. From crisis to clarity to a testimony. Step number one, get understanding. Step number two, take a bold step. Come on. I want to challenge somebody today. Take a bold step. Mm-hmm. Apply from that job that looks too big for you. When I took my bold step, I went for a job that paid me X to a job that paid me 3 times more. That was my first bold step. I just thought, okay, God, if we're going to do this, let's just do this. 3 times more. And I got it. And most importantly, I had no experience for it. That's a story for another day. Number three, connect to your small community. Make a request of God. Number five, hear from God. Wait, don't rush. Just make a request and wait for God to tell you what to do. And then when he tells you what to do, get to dancing. Get to praising. Get to believe in God, because God is the one who answers prayer. And finally, listen for the testimony. Amen.